Ah, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Tonight, America on high alert as President Trump readies to leave the White House and the nation inaugurates a new leader. Military trucks rolling through the nation's capital, now a fortress. Checkpoints and barriers in place. Around the country, state capitals boarded up. The Michigan legislature canceling sessions over what they call credible threats. Tonight, the new report that Capitol Police were warned about a potential threat to members of Congress days before the attack. The FBI now making new arrests and some rioters asking for a pardon, saying they were just following what the president called for. President Trump remaining mostly out of sight during his last weekend in office. Moving vans spotted outside the West Wing. What we're learning about how the president plans to leave office, heading straight to Mar-a-Lago. Vanishing vaccine. The governors of several states now accusing the Trump administration of misleading them about available doses. Less than 4% of Americans receiving their first shots. And the need for the vaccine more urgent than ever. That highly contagious UK variant spreading to at least 19 states as the country nears 400,000 lives lost. Deadly encounter. The family of a Texas man speaking out after watching their loved one shot and killed by police. They had called for help because he was in need of mental health assistance. So why did he end up dead? Danger on the highway, blizzard conditions causing this box truck to lose control. The close call, where that system is now heading. And Field of Dreams, the former college pitcher, the book that reignited the fire and the social media pitch that just changed his life.
ABC News World Headquarters in New York. This is World News Tonight.
And good evening. Thanks for joining us on this Saturday. I'm Tom Yamas. We begin tonight with the nation on high alert, 4 days to the inauguration of Joe Biden and the hope of a peaceful transfer of power. But it comes after that violent siege at the Capitol. And so tonight, thousands of National Guard troops are on duty in Washington. By Wednesday, there will be 25,000 troops. Four bridges into the city will be closed. The streets are deserted. Storefronts are boarded up. Much of the National Mall is closed. The FBI saying that last week's attack likely emboldened domestic extremists. And tonight, a new arrest. Media personality Tim Geannette, known as Baked Alaska, allegedly spotted on video inside the Capitol chanting, quote, "Patriots are in control." And Jenna Ryan, the Texas real estate broker who flew to D.C. in a private plane, now asking for a pardon, saying she doesn't feel guilty because she thought she was following the president. And it's not just Washington on alert tonight. At least 10 states activating the National Guard, and their capitals are boarded up. ABC's Kenneth Mote leads us off from Washington.
Tonight, the nation's capital now a fortress. Fences, checkpoints, and barricades forming a ring of steel from the White House to Capitol Hill.
This bridge and three others connecting Virginia to D.C. shutting down starting Tuesday.
25,000 National Guard troops, many armed, flooding D.C. by Inauguration Day.
Massive trucks like this stationed around this city, five times the number of American troops in Iraq and Afghanistan guarding D.C.
Our mission here is to protect our people and our property, and so we're going to do everything to make sure that they're successful.
A Virginia man arrested at a D.C. checkpoint with an unauthorized inauguration credential. Police say he had a loaded handgun and 500 rounds of ammunition. Tonight, the FBI on edge about the threat of improvised explosive devices on Inauguration Day and the threat to political leaders, saying the January 6th attack on the Capitol likely emboldened domestic extremists.
I don't know if anyone has raised their hand to say, we are coming, we will be there, but we are preparing as if they are.
At least 10 states activating their National Guard. Capital cities boarding up. Michigan's legislature suspending next week's session because of credible threats. Now, new chilling details about the insurrection. The Washington Post reporting 3 days before an internal Capitol Police intelligence report warned that Congress could be the target of angry Trump supporters. The FBI is investigating whether lawmakers aided pro-Trump rioters by giving building tours the day before. So far, at least 300 open investigations into riot suspects. Far-right media personality Tim Geannette, who calls himself Baked Alaska, also arrested in Texas today, allegedly spotted in video inside the Capitol chanting, "Patriots are in control." And suspect Jenna Ryan, the Texas realtor accused of taking part in the riot, now publicly asking for a pardon, telling station KTVT she was just following President Trump.
Me personally, I do not feel a sense of shame or guilt from my heart from what I was doing. I thought I was following my president. I thought I was following what we were called to do.
That defense echoed by suspect Jacob Chansley. The Arizona man allegedly left a note on Pence's desk in the Senate chamber that read, "It's only a matter of time. Justice is coming." He's also now asking for a pardon through his attorney.
He walked down Constitution Avenue and entered the Capitol. He was there at the invitation of and request of our president.
All right, Kenneth Moten joining us now from a heavily fortified checkpoint there in the nation's capital. Kenneth, we can see those military vehicles behind you. You're also learning tonight that the TSA may take urgent action on some of those involved with the attack on the Capitol.
That's right, Tom. After the Capitol riots, TSA is working with law enforcement, reviewing hundreds of names to see if anyone should be added to the no-fly list. Also, those who fly in and out of the city and at airports across this country will see stepped-up security at TSA checkpoints ahead of the inauguration. Tom?
All right, Kenneth Moten leading us off from the nation's capital tonight. Kenneth, thank you. President Trump is spending his last weekend in the White House. He won't be at the inauguration. Tonight, new details about his elaborate plans for leaving Washington, where he'll be when President-elect Joe Biden takes the oath of office. And tonight, the familiar face just spotted at the White House. Here's ABC's White House correspondent Rachel Scott.
It's President Trump's final weekend in the White House, and he's out of sight, preparing behind closed doors for his impending trial in the Senate. Rudy Giuliani spotted on the grounds today. Sources say he will likely be part of Trump's impeachment legal team. Moving vans seen outside the West Wing, aides packing up their offices. The president's schedule says he's holding meetings and calls. On Friday in the Oval Office, meeting with Mike Lindell, the founder of MyPillow, who has pushed conspiracy theories online. Lindell seen leaving the White House with this page of notes appearing to say martial law if necessary, telling ABC News there was no mention of martial law in his conversation with the administration. The White House saying nothing was taken seriously and that the president has committed to a peaceful transition of power. With President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration just 4 days away, there are no plans for the outgoing president to come face-to-face with his successor. Vice President Mike Pence will be present at the inauguration. And breaking the decades-long tradition of the outgoing president leaving from the steps of the Capitol, as the Trumps did with former President Barack Obama. Instead, President Trump wants an elaborate send-off. Sources say he's requested a red carpet and a military band. By the time President-elect Joe Biden takes the oath of office, Trump plans to be out of Washington and on his way to Mar-a-Lago. Despite the threats, the inauguration will still take place outdoors in the same location of that deadly riot.
Yes.
And we're learning more about how the ceremony will unfold. Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor swearing in Kamala Harris as the nation's first female vice president. She swore in Biden as vice president in 2013.
All right, let's get right to Rachel now at the White House tonight. And Rachel, what are you learning about the president's legal strategy for his second impeachment trial? We did see Rudy Giuliani there at the top of your story.
Well, Tom, at this point, there is no clear legal strategy coming from the president, and that impeachment trial in the Senate could be starting as soon as next week. We know the impeachment managers have been meeting, building their case. We saw Rudy Giuliani here on the White House ground. Sources tell us that the president is considering tapping him to help him mount a defense. But at this point, with possibly just days to go, no clear legal strategy and no firm announcement on who is going to be leading that defense team, Tom.
All right, Rachel Scott with that new reporting from the White House. Rachel, thank you. you. President-elect Biden is bracing to take on the COVID emergency, promising 100 million vaccine shots in his first 100 days. But he's inheriting a rollout that is far from smooth. Take a look at this. Several governors asking, where are the doses, accusing the Trump administration of lying to them about vaccines in reserve as people just line up to get them. And now the growing anxiety among Americans desperate to get the shot. ABC's Trevor Ault is here in New York City.
Tonight, states asking the federal government, where is the vaccine? Governor Andrew Cuomo saying 7 million New Yorkers are now eligible for their shot, but the state is only receiving 250,000 doses next week.
So far, only 12 million Americans have received the first dose of the vaccine, less than 4% of the population. Earlier this week, departing Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar saying more doses were on the way.
We are releasing the entire supply we have.
But the reserve second doses he was talking about had already been shipping out for weeks. There is no surplus, and governors across the country are outraged.
This is deception on a national scale.
We were ready to deploy it right away, and now we know that it simply doesn't exist.
I have no idea why they made that claim when they knew it wasn't accurate.
Texas grandmother Pam Jones describing the tremendous patience and luck that it took to finally get an appointment online.
It was almost a 24/7 operation, really and truly. I mean, I'd wake up in the middle of the night and check things.
The online portal cities rely on proving challenging, especially for senior citizens.
Many people who have either limited access to the internet, limited access to technology, or simply don't have the tools, it's next to impossible to figure out how to actually get a vaccine.
President-elect Joe Biden is now vowing to turn things around, promising 100 million vaccinations in his first 100 days.
The focus really should be on in terms of how do we make sure that the vaccines that are distributed already are getting administered.
Some states are already setting up vaccination mega centers like Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles.
The vaccines will come, but we need to be ready on the ground to have that infrastructure ready to actually get it into those arms.
And here in New York, the Javits Center is another one of those mega vaccination sites. Months ago, it served as a field hospital, but other sites like Dodger Stadium are being converted from massive testing facilities. And that is prompting some fears that losing the tests in favor of shots could cut into our ability to track the virus. Tom?
Trevor Ault for us tonight. Trevor, thank you. The need for a vaccine is greater every day as that highly contagious UK variant spreads across the country. More than 23 million confirmed cases in this country, some 226,000 new cases every day, at least 394,000 American lives lost to the virus, 46,000 just since the first of this year. ABC's Zareen Shah in hard-hit L.A. tonight.
Tonight, the highly contagious UK variant now confirmed in at least 19 states. The CDC fearing it could make the pandemic much worse, saying it could soon become the predominant variant.
What we don't know is how treatments are affected by this variant and how the preventative vaccines, will they work as well?
In Texas, the state's third variant case found in Dallas, a major transportation hub. In Gainesville, Georgia, Northeast Georgia Medical Center's ICU at 200% capacity. Doctors racing to save lives while patients remain on stretchers.
We are having to treat patients in the hallways and also in the ambulances.
At California's Rose Hill Cemetery, the largest in North America, families waiting up to 6 weeks for burials.
When we called the cemetery, we were 102 on the waiting line.
And the country approaching that grim milestone, nearly 400,000 lives lost. In Los Angeles, students and teachers mourning the loss of two teachers, Erica Brown Atkinson and Nicholas Glover.
He was a huge presence emotionally, but also intellectually.
And NBA star Carl Anthony Towns announcing he has tested positive for COVID-19. He's still mourning the loss of seven family members, including his mother, Jacqueline.
You're talking to the physical me, but my soul has been killed off.
Adding this promise to his family on Twitter. I will not end up in a box next to grandma, and I will beat this. And Tom, just tonight, we're learning that LA County has surpassed 1 million COVID cases. Officials here also confirming that the county now has its first case of the UK variant. Tom?
Okay, Zareen, thank you for that. Now to that tragic police-involved shooting in Killeen, Texas. The family of Patrick Warren called the city's mental health hotline for help. A police officer was the only one to show up. Moments later, he shot Warren dead as his wife, mother, and sons watched in horror. Here's ABC's Elwin Lopez.
Hey, Dad, sit down! Sit down!
Tonight, a call for help in Texas that turned deadly, captured on video in front of a man's mom, wife, and sons.
No, I told you don't use a gun! I told you!
52-year-old Patrick Warren, in need of mental health assistance, shot and killed by a Killeen police officer.
This is one of the worst police officer-involved shootings I've ever seen.
The family says this was not the first time they called for help for him. The day before, the police department had sent a mental health resource officer, but this time, it was a policeman. You can see this officer, Reynaldo Contreras, walking into the house, then stepping out. Warren walks toward the officer, waving his arms in the air. Then the sounds of a stun device, followed by gunfire. Three shots.
My mind is just like, wow, like this is really happening right now. Like they just shot my father.
The family says Warren, who had lost his job during the pandemic, was unarmed.
The department says that there are, quote, many more facts in this case that are not publicly available at this time. They've placed the officer on paid administrative leave while they investigate. Tom.
A sad story all around. Okay, Elwin, thank you. Now to that major winter storm with blizzard conditions in the Midwest and snow and heavy rain in the east. Take a look in Iowa. That truck skidding off the road right there onto the median, nearly into oncoming traffic, then almost flipping over before the driver regains control. Other trucks, though, not so lucky. Several jackknifing on the side of the road. Let's get right to ABC senior meteorologist Rob Marciano tonight. Rob, good evening.
Hi, Tom. Such a high-impact and expansive storm that's still impacting the Northeast. Let's show you where the low is now. Maine getting winter storm warnings and high wind warning. Carteria, the capital city of Albany and the Adirondacks, still getting snow. And tomorrow, wraparound moisture will bring in some lake-enhanced snow from Chicago all the way into New York once again. In the West, we had record-breaking high temperatures in Southern California yesterday, and high winds today will reset the wind event with this next storm coming in Monday, Tuesday. Not just dangerous fire conditions, but winds that could be damaging into Tuesday. Tom?
Okay, Rob, thank you. And there's much more ahead on World News Tonight this Saturday. The urgent manhunt at this hour. A recent college grad shot and killed while walking his dog at 7 p.m. The new surveillance video of the suspects. And the massive earthquake killing dozens overseas. The rush now to find survivors.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Back now with the search for the suspects wanted in the killing of a recent college grad while he walked his dog. Here's ABC's Janae Norman.
Tonight, police in an intense manhunt, hoping this surveillance footage helps find the suspects accused of shooting and killing a man in cold blood as he walked his dog.
I don't know why they did it. I can't understand. Everybody loved him.
In the video, you see two suspects approaching Milan Lonkar, a recent graduate from Temple University, out for a walk with his Dachshund Chihuahua mix just before 7 p.m. Wednesday. Another angle shows one suspect standing in front of him pull a gun. The other standing behind him, trapping Milan as they go through his pockets in an apparent robbery attempt. Milan's mother says his wallet was at home, but the suspects killed him anyway.
He is so missed, and we're trying to pull together and get everybody through.
He was found lying on the sidewalk just a block from his Philadelphia home, his dog, Rue, still by his side. Family and friends holding a vigil as they search for answers.
If you know anything, just please help us get some kind of closure.
And Tom, a GoFundMe page has raised nearly $40,000 for information that helps lead to an arrest. Tom?
Janae, our thanks to you. Time now for our index in the search for survivors. A 6.2 quake hitting in Indonesia. You can see here crews rushing to rescue people trapped under the rubble. At least 46 people have been killed. Hundreds are injured. Back here at home, a teenager saving her family from a house fire after they lost their sense of smell to COVID-19. Flames tearing through a home in Waco with 8 people inside, 7 of them infected with the virus, unable to smell the smoke. Luckily, a 19-year-old who does not have COVID was able to get everyone out in time. Finally tonight, America Strong. At Cole Park in Dallas, 74-year-old Frank Miller is showing he still has the stuff, working on his fastball and building his own field of dreams.
Well, I guess this has been inside of me for some time.
After 50 years, the former high school and college hurler is back on the field playing catch with some new friends he met in a most unusual way.
I'm loving it.
It all started with a baseball book, a Christmas present he received from his wife.
Just walking around the house with a baseball like 24/7. It was crazy.
I said, Alice, I got to work on my cutter grip.
And I knew he was just itching to get out.
Wondering what to do, Alice turned to an app. It's called Nextdoor, and she posted this, quote, "My 74-year-old husband would like to have a partner to throw the ball with." Like a line drive, the post took off, the replies pouring in. This one reading, "I would love to have a catch." Another, "Count me in."
I was shocked by the amount of the response.
Nice to meet you guys.
Days later, more than a dozen showing up. Retirees, former players working from home, even a few from the local high school baseball team.
And the joy that these guys, from the high school kids to the, 74-year-olds, were all just laughing and talking.
There we go.
Social media may have brought them to the park, but it's the love of the game that's keeping them here.
There's just something about having a game of catch with another person. And there is something about it that's beautiful.
We totally agree. Our thanks to WFAA for their help on that story. Beautifully shot, by the way. Thanks for watching.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially 4 trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.